Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. And if you're visiting with us, we're thankful for your presence. One person not with us this morning that we will miss dearly is Miss Louise. And we grieve at her passing. And we will miss her presence as we assemble together. I know that some of you have known her for many years. And that's why I asked Phil if you would like to share your thoughts with me about her. I will try to include those in her memorial service Thursday afternoon. If you would prefer just to hand write those things and put them in my box or hand them to me, that would be fine as well. We've recently finished the book of Ephesians, and one of the well-known passages there in Ephesians chapter 6 speaks of being strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. This morning, we're not going to talk about the whole armor of God, that well-known passage, but we are going to talk about what it means to be strong and how do I know if I am strong in the Lord. You ever thought about that? We talk about being strong to defend ourselves from the devil, but what does it mean to be strong? How do I know that in any given situation I have the strength that it takes to overcome the devil? How would I know that? How do I know if I'm strong? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, be strong. Well, how do I know if I'm strong? And be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6 and verse 10. How would I know that? And in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14, those who are strong overcome the evil one. But how would I know if when I'm at school and when I'm at work and when I'm out on my own, how do I know if I'm being strong or not? We're to have strength. We just finished the book of Ephesians, and there are different places there that mention Christians being strong. For example, in chapter 3 and verse 16, that you may be strengthened with power through His Spirit. But how would I know if I was strong on a given situation? Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him, Christ, who strengthens me. Well, am I strong? In Colossians 1:11 and 1 Peter 4:11, 1 Peter 5:10, different places in God's Word we're told to be strong and to have strength. But how would I know that? Well, how do you know if you have physical strength? Well, when we were in school, you might go to PE and they might send you to the weight room. How much can you bench press? How much can you leg press? How much can you squat? How much can you curl? These are weights, and however many weights we can lift or how much weight we can lift, that determines how strong we are. There's some measurement, there's some gauge there. I didn't go to the weight room much. Chris Rees wasn't allowed in the weight room. He wasn't bulky enough to justify taking up time on one of the weights. So I did something else. My father tells me that recently he's on physical therapy where he goes and he has to be on the treadmill for X amount of minutes and at a certain speed and at a certain incline. They're trying to test the strength of his heart. There's a machine for that. There's a test for that. There's a way to objectively see how strong his heart is. Well, I've been thinking about that. What about with regard to our spiritual strength? How would we know if we're strong? And how can we know to be strong? Well, I was thinking about that recently, and it led me to 2 Samuel chapter 23, if you'll turn with me there. If I can look and see a strong person in battle, then I can see if I do the same thing, then I'm strong. And we're looking at physical battles this morning when we look at David's mighty men. But we find that those same lessons can be applied when we have the spiritual battles that we have from day to day. We're going to see David's mighty men be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. What does it mean to be strong? What does it mean to put on the strength of God's might? Well, we're going to learn from these men. And if we find ourselves doing the same things in spiritual battles, then we can say, aha, I'm strong. I'm where I need to be. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, we find that David's life is ending. He's coming down toward the end of his life. And I believe Psalm 23 is a beautiful passage. It begins there with one of David's final psalms or praises to God as he is closing his life. And then we find a list of David's mighty men. And this is one of those passages of Scripture that you'd be tempted to read over because it's a bunch of names. You know, we have that in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah and 1 Chronicles, especially several chapters there in 1 Chronicles. Well, I'm just going to skip over that because it's a bunch of names. But if you'll take time to read the names, you'll find some great lessons. And here's an example of that this morning. So we're going to begin reading in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 8. These mighty men. And we're going to see what it was that made them mighty and strong. And we're going to see this morning then that in the same given spiritual battle, we can find out if we're strong in the Lord. The first thing that we find is when you read verses 8 through 10, do you fight courageously while outnumbered and alone? If the answer is yes, then you're a strong person. That's exactly what a strong person does. Look at chapter 23, verse 8. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Joshabashabeth, a Tekemenite, chief of the captains. The same was Adino, the Esnite, against 800 slain at one time. And after him was Eliezer, the son of Dodai, the son of an Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And Jehovah wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to take spoil. The last part of verse 10, that's the subject of another sermon, but I find that that's kind of interesting. Let somebody else do the fighting, and then you go in and take the reward. Although I will say this, that recently I've heard some comments from some younger preachers in churches of Christ, some recordings online and things like that, and sometimes things that they write on their blogs or their bulletin article, and they'll stand in pulpits that were handed to them by brethren over the past 50 years who have fought battles over a number of different things. They're standing in pulpits that have been handed to them by brethren, and then they sit there and belittle and put down what brethren have done over the past 50 years. They're rushing in, taking the spoil off of somebody else's fight. We've got to be careful not to do that. Let somebody else do all the fighting, and then we just come in and take the prize. But that's the subject of another lesson. What I want to focus on is that in verses 8 through 10, these two men are by themselves and they're courageously fighting while outnumbered and alone. Israel has run away. The men of Israel were gone away. That's how I know a person is strong. When they will fight courageously while outnumbered and alone. So, in our situations today, if you find yourself in a situation where you're outnumbered, Matthew 7:14, if you consider the broad way that leads to destruction and many are traveling that road, you're pretty much outnumbered in Clarksville in any given situation. You're going to be surrounded by those people who are traveling the broad way. Many are traveling that broad way that leads to destruction. You're one of the few that is trying to live right. Do you live right and act right and do right when you're surrounded, when you're in the minority, and when you're alone? Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 8, that God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness. We have to be courageous. And we may be in a small congregation, Revelation 3, 4 through 8, the church at Philadelphia. They were small, but they had a great faith. So how do we know if we're strong? Well, Number one, when you find yourself outnumbered and alone, do you still do what's right? And if the answer is yes, then you're strong. A couple of illustrations. First of all, think about alone from the standpoint of literally being alone. You're by yourself with your computer. Do you look at things that you shouldn't look at? Or do you stay away from those things that you shouldn't look at? If you stay away from those things and you're alone, then you're strong. You're by yourself and you don't tell a lie. You could. Nobody else is around. There's one other person. You could tell a lie to them, but you don't do it. You tell the truth. You're strong. See, sometimes people will do things that are right when they're surrounded by a bunch of other people who are doing right. But this man, these men are called mighty men because they stand by themselves and still do what is right. And that's how we know if we're strong. You can also look at it another way. Alone in the sense of the rest of the religious world is going this route, or other churches of Christ are doing this, but we're standing on Bible authority or what the New Testament teaches. Standing alone in that regard. We know that we're strong. We know that we're strong when we're outnumbered and alone and we still do what is right. That's how we know that we're strong. And that's what made these men the mighty men of David. And other people are going to run away. And other people are going to go out and do their own thing and do what they want to do. But you're going to stand and do what is right. Whether it's literally alone, mom and dad's not around, the teacher's not around. So teacher's not looking. Well, I'm not going to cheat on that test. Whatever the case might be. The elders aren't around. The preacher's not around. The boss is not around. Whatever. I'm alone. I'm by myself. I'm going to do what is right. That's how I know I'm strong. Let's look at another example of David's mighty men. Are you willing to defend small things? And I'm going to define small things in just a minute. Are you willing to defend the small things of a Christian? The small things in the church? We know that we're strong when given just a small thing. We're going to defend that just like we would maybe a big thing. Let's read it. Verses 11 through 12. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agai, a Hagarite. The Philistines were gathered together into a troop where there was a plot of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. That's a recurring theme. But he stood in the midst of the plot and defended it and slew the Philistines, and Jehovah wrought a great victory. It's just a little old piece of ground full of beans. But it belongs to Israel, and Philistines, you can't have it. That's impressive. Hey, see a little old field. Let's get out of here. Let them have it. Let them take it. No, they're called David's mighty men because in this scenario, it's a little old field of beans, but it doesn't belong to you, and I'm going to stand here and fight for it. Everybody else is gone, but I'm going to fight for it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verses 21 and 23, with regard to the five-talent man and the two-talent man, you have been faithful in little, you will be faithful in much. How do I know if I'm strong? How do you know if you're strong in the Lord? How do we know if we are those who have strength and the might of the Lord? Well, when you're put in a situation of defending a small little thing, and you stand there and defend it, then you're strong. How about this? Would you be willing to stand in the field of attendance and defend that? Oh, it's just attendance. No, that's a big thing. Would you defend that? While everybody else maybe is not doing that, And we see more and more even in the Lord's church where we might miss and we might attend and we might not come and we might put other things before the Lord. But we're going to stand there and defend that one. How about Bible authority? Doing things by book, chapter, and verse. Would we stand and defend that one? Would we stand in the field of Bible authority and defend it? Would we stand in the field of attendance and defend it? Would we stand in the field of daily Bible reading and the field of personal work and on? Would we defend that? It's what we might call small things, little things, modesty, speaking right, other kinds of things. Jesus said, if you're faithful in little, you're faithful in much. And I believe that there are brethren who will stand up and defend the big ones. I'm going to put my foot down on baptism for remission of sins. And I'm going to put my foot down and defend the name of the church and this and that. But attendance, that's not a big deal. Gossip, little things that we say, well, that's not a big deal. It's important. We're learning what it takes to be a mighty man or woman of God from physical battles and transferring these lessons to our spiritual battles today. That's how we know we're strong. Then and now. Let's stand in the field of whatever it is and defend what's right. And everybody else may be running, and everybody else may be going to the other side and quitting and fleeing. But we're going to stand in the field and defend it. For years, even religious denominations have given up on the inspiration of Scripture. But would you stand in the field of Bible inspiration and defend that? Would you stand in the field of creation and defend that? In the large amount of people in the world that believe in evolution, will you stand in the field of creation and defend that? And so on. You see the point. If something is worth defending, it doesn't matter how small or great, it's worth defending if it's truth. And let's stand in that field. And like this man and these men whose hand... Verse 10, his hand clave unto the sword. His hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. We know about Ephesians chapter 6 and how that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. You grab hold of that thing and you wield it and you swing it, and it doesn't matter how tiring it is, you hold on to that thing. That's how we know we're strong. How do we know if we're strong? Well, let's keep reading in verse 13. Do you risk your life for your leader, Jesus Christ? How do you know that you're strong? Well, when I'm put in a situation where I have to risk my life for Jesus Christ, then I know that I'm strong. Look at verse 13. And three of the 30 chief men went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me water to drink of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. But he would not drink thereof, but he poured it out unto Jehovah. And he said, be it far from me, O Jehovah, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did the three mighty men. Would you run through a host and get some water for your leader, your captain? That's how you know if you're strong or not. You're devoted and dedicated to Him. You're devoted and dedicated to His side. And whatever He's requesting, we do that. That's how you know if you're strong or not. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I don't believe we physically risk our lives today because of the nation that we live in, the freedoms that we have. Nobody is actually pointing a gun at our head for being a Christian, but it could be poking fun, or it could be a comment made that would put you down in some kind of way if you're going to stand for the cause of Christ. Do you know that He's our captain? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. Some of the versions say that He's the author of our salvation, but the Greek word means literally a captain, a leader. That's what Jesus is. And He's trying to be our captain and lead us to heaven. And we've got to be willing to risk our life for Him. That's how we know if we're strong or not. David was impressed with these men and felt that he shouldn't drink this because he wanted to dedicate it to the Lord, but he realized that they had put their lives in jeopardy to bring him some water. Let's not have a convenient religion, a microwave religion, where it's just pop it in and convenience. Let's be willing to put our life on the line for what is right. And you might be in a situation where you have to stand for truth, and others around you in the workplace or other places, they're not standing for what the Bible teaches, and you have to speak up, and it's hard. But put your life on the line for the Lord and for truth. That's what brethren in the first century did, and that's what Christians did, and that's what we need to do. Turn with me to Acts chapter 15. We're not given the details of these kinds of things, but we're told that men and women were willing to risk their lives for truth and for the Lord and for the Lord's church. And that's how we know if we're strong. In Acts chapter 15, those who were going to deliver this letter that teaches truth about the matter of salvation and circumcision, choose out men and send them with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Underscore that in your Bible. Because of our soft environment and our soft culture, we've got to be careful that we don't become soft. And in a pluralistic culture where everything is right and all religions are equal, and we become so soft that we won't stand for what is truthful and be willing to hazard our lives for that. I don't know of a lot of modern day examples of where brethren have suffered greatly. I know that maybe in the past 25, 30 years, my father has told me a number of situations, for example, in South America, where brethren have lost their church buildings because they wouldn't go along with certain kinds of laws or rules, or brethren have lost their church buildings because they were standing for truth, but the American churches that were controlling that particular church wanted them to do something else. And so their building is taken away and things like that. And there could be other kinds of examples in other countries, but we need to be willing to hazard our life. And we've just studied, turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. We've just looked at Epaphroditus, and let's remind ourselves, we've got to be willing to put our necks on the line for the Lord, and let's not have a convenient religion where it's just confined to the church building, and when it's convenient we go, and when it's convenient to stand for truth we do, but at all times. And look at what the text says about Epaphroditus. That should be chapter 2 and verse 30. Excuse me, chapter 2, not 1. Because for the work of Christ he came nigh unto death. I don't know the details of that, but I know it was because of the work of Christ. For the work of Christ he came nigh unto death. How do I know if I'm strong? When I'm willing to risk my life for my leader. And let's be willing to do that. And in Matthew chapter 10, let's be willing to confess him before others and not deny him. Stand up for what is right. And risk something with your job. Yes. Risk something of another nature. Yes. Because it's for the cause of Christ. How do I know that I'm strong? Well, let's go back to 2 Samuel 23. When I work toward a common goal, even though I'm different from others in the body of Christ, I have a different role or a different relationship. Turn with me to 2 Samuel 23 and let's keep reading in verse 18. And I got to thinking later after I put the word equal on the chart that that's loaded with a lot of meaning in our culture today. I don't mean by that we're not equal. I meant by that in the sense of we don't have the same role or relationship or function in the Lord's church. But we're going to work together for a common goal. Look at verse 18. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief of the three. And he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them and had a name among the three. Was he not most honorable of the three? Therefore, he was made their captain. Howbeit, he attained not unto the first three. This is interesting that there's all these mighty men and they're important, but sometimes they don't have the importance that maybe somebody else in the group had. But it doesn't matter. We're all fighting for the same cause. So he was important, but he didn't attain unto the first three. Probably a reference back to verse 13. Look at verse 20. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done mighty deeds, he slew two sons of Ariel of Moab and went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. If you look at the parallel account to this, it's found in 1 Chronicles 11. David's mighty men, it's also mentioned in 1 Chronicles 11. It says in this verse, it's not talking about how good looking he was. It's talking about how tall he was. It says that he was 5 cubits. If you use an 18-inch cubit, you're looking at 7.5 feet tall Egyptian with a big spear. Big guy. But he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew it with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had a name among the three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three. And David set him over his guard or his council, his group, inner circle. How do you know you're strong? When you, in the Lord's body, do what you need to do, even though you may not be someone else. Well, I'm not an elder. I'm not a deacon. I'm not the preacher. I'm not this. I'm not that. And when I become such and such, then I'll start doing such and such. It doesn't matter. In chapter 12 and verse 4, we're all members of a body. And we all supply what we need to supply. That which every joint supplies, Ephesians 4:16. We all have a role. We all have a relationship. You don't see these men say, well, I'm not a part of the three, so I'm not going to do anything. I'm not as important as the three, so I can't do anything, you see. They did what was right when it came time for them to do what was right in the role that they had. And when I'm willing, as a member of the Lord's body, to be who I need to be in the church, to function and work together with others, I know that I'm strong in the Lord. And I'm not saying, I'm going to wait until I become such and such. No, I just do it now in the role that I have. And I serve the Lord in the role that God has given me. I'm just a housewife. No. I'm not the head of family. I'm just the housewife. No. You'll hear that sometimes. Different roles, different relationships, but all are important in God's creation in general and in the church in particular. And we're going to work toward that common goal. We don't have the same roles and relationships, but we can be strong in the Lord and fight in the area where we need to fight. And then last of all, turn with me to verse 24. How do I know if I'm strong in the Lord? Well, you come to the portion of Scripture where it gets even worse. Now it's just a bunch of names. And you'd be thinking, well, there's nothing left. But if you'll read those names and you read all the way down through it, look at the very last name. Who's the very last name mentioned in verse 39? Uriah the Hittite. One of David's mighty men was Uriah the Hittite. How do I know if I'm strong? When I go to work each day, and when I go to school, and when I go about my activities, and I have to face the devil and other kinds of situations, how do I know if I'm strong? Just like on that weight machine, how much weight I'm lifting. We're looking at these men, and we're saying, if I do this, then I know that I'm strong. One last thing, how do I know if I'm strong? If I am willing to stay committed to my duty and my cause until death. I'm not going to be a convenient Christian where I'm in and out, and sometimes I do it and sometimes I don't. Turn back with me to 2 Samuel 11 and verse 11, and let's see how Uriah met his end. This is one of David's mighty men. What made him mighty? Well, he was committed to his duty and his cause till his death. You remember the story in chapter 11 of 2 Samuel where David commits adultery with Bathsheba, and so he gets this bright idea that, well, she's pregnant now, and so what we're going to do is we'll get Uriah to come home from battle. He'd been out in battle with Joab, and we'll get him to come home and lay with his wife, and so they'll think that the father is Uriah. So he invites Uriah home. And he says, why don't you just go down to your house and be with your wife and just enjoy a break from the battle here? And we pick up the story in verse 10. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, art thou not come from a journey? Wherefore didst thou not go down into thy house? Now look at the commitment and the resolve of this man to his cause and to his duty. And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in booths, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open field. Shall I then go into my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. I don't need to be here. I need to be out on the battlefield. Well, then David gets the bright idea to send him back into battle, and he tells Joab, put him in the front of the battle and then retreat, and then he'll be able to be killed, and that's what happened. But Uriah is saying, I don't need to be at home. I need to be on the battlefield. And here's a man committed to his duty and to his cause until death. How do I know if I'm a strong Christian? Part of it is attendance. Part of it is me getting my Bible class lesson. Part of it is me being here and doing things that we do together. But on a daily basis, it's when I uphold my duty and my cause to the Lord. And we find in the New Testament that there were men and women who were willing to do that very thing. I think about Peter and John in Acts chapter 4 when they are preaching Christ in Jerusalem and being put in prison for that. The attitude that these men have is amazing. And we need to have the same attitude among us today. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 19, Peter and John answered and said, whether it is right in the sight of God to hearken unto you rather than unto God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we saw and heard. We're doing what we're told to do. Jesus wanted us to stand and be His witness beginning in Jerusalem, and we're doing what our duty is to do. Later in chapter 5 and verse 29, we must obey God rather than men. How do I know if I'm strong? If I'm committed to my duty. Jesus talks about the servant in Luke 17 who's doing what is duty to do. We've got to get back to a sense of duty and commitment. And so Jude 3, contend earnestly for the faith. To fight, literally. So today, it's not David, it's the Son of David. It's Jesus Christ. And He needs mighty men and women, and He needs all of us here at Warfield to be fighting for Him. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. And also in Colossians 1 and verse 11. Strengthened with His might. And we've learned this morning that what that means is to fight courageously while outnumbered and alone. When you're by yourself, you know you're strong when you fight and do what is right. When you defend small things, and it doesn't matter what it is in the church, what it is that we read in the New Testament, we're not going to go through and pick out the big things and ignore the small things, but even though that little small field of barley, we're going to stand right there and defend it. Others may be poking fun at that. Others may be ignoring that or going on to something else. Well, you in the Church of Christ, you're always, you know, always worried about the details. Well, the details, whether it's the big thing or the little thing, it's all God's Word. And we're going to stand there and defend it. And we're going to risk our life for our leader. And we're going to work toward a common goal, though we have different roles and relationships. And we're going to stay committed to our duty and our cause and always remember that. I'm supposed to be out on the field, Uriah said. I'm not supposed to be at home right now. I've got a duty to perform. And as brethren, our duty is lifelong, and let's do that all the way to the end. In 2 Samuel 23, you read a whole list of names. Wouldn't it be great to have your name there? But there's another book, and it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's where the names of God's mighty men and women will be listed in the judgment day. Let's live in such a way that our name is not blotted out of that book, Revelation 3:5. Let's have our name written there because we have obeyed the gospel. We have repented of our sins. We've been baptized into Christ. And we've lived strong, mighty lives thereafter. We want a list of David's mighty men and women, the Son of David, Jesus Christ. I want your name there. I want my name to be there. Let's help each other to have that. We know what it now takes to be strong. It's not just a word we use, but we actually have a machine, if you will, a weight machine to test our strength. And let's go back through the passage and put ourselves there and be the strong soldier of Christ that we need to be. If you found in your life that you're not these things and you need to make those changes, we can help you. Or if you need to come for the first time obeying the gospel, we can help you. Why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?